It's the Taskmaster podcast. Of course it is. We are not going anywhere. I'm Ed Gamble. I'm the host. I'm going to be taking you through another episode of Taskmaster from the TV archive. That's where I'm recording this from, the basement at the bottom of television. Just made that up. Look, we're chatting about Taskmaster series 1 episode 5. We are going through them in order. I hope you're all watching along with us. It's something to do, isn't it? I'll tell you something else to do. Is home tasking has started again. Yes, Alex did it in the first lockdown where he set tasks for you guys at home to do, and then they put together a brilliant video of all of the best ones that he receives, and that is back. The last one was make a water feature, which is something that we did in series 9, and it's a lot of fun, and the entrants were absolutely spectacular. So keep an eye out for the home tasking tasks. They go up on a Thursday at noon. Check Alex's Twitter, check out the Taskmaster Twitter, check out the Taskmaster YouTube, youtube.com/Taskmaster. Get filming yours, send them in, and you might make the video compilation. It is so much fun. There's been schools doing it, families doing it. It's a great, big, inclusive, wonderful thing. It's what Taskmaster is all about. The other thing that Taskmaster is all about is this podcast. We are going to be talking to a special guest about Series 1, Episode 5, and the special guest this week is Jade Adams. She is a wonderful comedian, a wonderful performer, wonderful singer as well, on top of all of that. She does loads of great stuff. Not been on Taskmaster yet. This is not a former Taskmaster guest. We're trying to vary it up a little bit. Yes, we're going to try and get you all the previous contestants to talk about their specific episodes, but I think it's also fun to talk to fans of the show about what the show means to them, what they remember about watching it, and their opinions of how the tasks went, etc. So let's get on with it. This is Taskmaster Series 1, Episode 5, discussed in a podcast format with Jade Adams. See you in a bit. Oh, hey, Jade Adams. Welcome to the Taskmaster podcast.
Thanks, Ed Gamble. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Thank you very much for coming on. We're very happy to have you here and hear you here in the Taskmaster podcast, which not a lot of people know is recorded from the secret sex dungeon in the Taskmaster house.
I am there right now. I am currently being held down by a really, really nice woman called Karen. Right now I'm in what is referred to as a, what is it called? Karen, what is it called? When you tie your hands behind your back and your feet together, what's that called? What's it?
It's a Christmas turkey.
Hog tie. She's whispering.
Right. Yes. Yeah, she's a lovely woman, Karen. She's actually Alex's second cousin. So that's the last time we'll be mentioning that. It's very nice to have you here. Are you a fan? Well, I hope you are a fan of Taskmaster.
I love Taskmaster. I'll be perfectly honest with you. It wasn't until I like really knew someone who was in it that I watched it. And that was when I overheard a story that Mawan Rizwan had tried to inflate an egg to make it float. And it was, I don't know, it was just something about that really pulled me into the series properly.
Since you've come into the show, you know, your entry point was Mawan Rizwan inflating an egg, which of course that's going to attract anyone to watch a TV show. Have you been back and watched any other series? Are you aware of the people who've been on it? Do you have any favourites, that sort of thing?
Well, I have. So basically, series 1 is the one, really. I sort of watched the Mawan Rizwan episode where he tried to inflate the egg, and then I went all the way back to series 1 because I realised there were a lot of in jokes, and there were a few moments where I was like, I need to know what that means, and I need to know why that bit's funny. So I went back to series 1, and I would say it's a really, really classic lineup of I'd say people quite close to being sociopaths. That's what I really like about the tasks in the series, is that it really brings out a side of people that you don't expect, because they're comedians, they're meant to make people laugh, but the level of competitiveness in that series is quite something.
Let's look at the prize task. So the prize task is the most valuable item. Before we get to what anyone in the show brought in, I'm going to need to know what you would have brought in, Jade, because you seem like a lady with an impressive range of trinkets. Is that fair to say? You've got a lot of trinkets?
Yeah, I've got quite a lot of stuff I could have brought in.
Have you got a dressing up box and like a treasure chest? Because I feel like you could pop round to your house and it'd be like Mr. Ben's shop.
I've got several vintage suitcases that are filled with costumes, and I collect costumes as a sort of, you know, like some people would maybe collect teacups and saucers, or they might collect like stamps or like money from other countries. Well, I collect costumes, and I have, I mean, name a person and I could probably do it with some of the, I know every single item I have as well. So if you name a person, I could tell you how I would make that that costume actually come alive.
So is there anything within those magical suitcases that you would bring in as the most valuable item, or would the suitcase itself be the valuable item? What are we thinking?
Well, there is, I could bring in the entire poster of the film Forrest Gump. So like the bench, the outfit, the suitcase, the box of chocolates, and inside the suitcase, the pants, the socks and the book. I've got all of those things. So that's one thing. Or several things.
Again, there would be an argument there. Greg would argue with you that that's not one item. So,
but it's
you'd be very good at arguing back in this situation. I think Greg might actually have to bow to you in quite a lot of the argument situations, because I think you could destroy him with logic.
Well, what I would say to him was that he wanted an expensive item, but this is a collection of items that have come together to create something that means so much to people in the world, because everyone loves the film Forrest Gump.
The problem is you've then tried to appeal to Greg's emotion and sympathy there, and he doesn't do that well. So if you say everyone loves the film Forrest Gump, he'd immediately go, "I don't, he was thick."
Okay. Well, something that might appeal to Greg... Oh, I know. I mean, it would be a bit of a task getting it in, but I'm sure they'd sort it out. But I've got like a 16-year-old CVP 103 Clavinova, and the sounds on it are pretty cool. And you can do some like wicked stuff. It's very vintage and very 90s based stuff you can do on it. But yeah. I think that he would be impressed by the capabilities of this old fashioned keyboard that still has a floppy disk drive. Yeah.
Lovely. He loves weird sounds. So there you go. That's what you're bringing in. I don't know what I'd bring in for most valuable item. I'd maybe go all in, and I've just got a cat, Jade. So maybe I'd just bring in my own cat.
What type of cat?
It's a Siberian.
Oh, lovely.
So, you know, monetarily, probably not the most valuable item that would be brought in. But, you know, it means a lot to me and to my fiance. And imagine if I lost the cat. That's a lot of value to put up. It's my relationship as well.
I've just brought up a photograph of the cat as well. And I mean, I know the area that you live in. How the hell do you keep that from being stolen?
We keep it in the house, Jade.
You've got a house cat.
It's a house cat. We're not letting that out.
It's too precious.
It's too precious for the world.
If that was big enough, it would eat both yours and your fiance's face, Ed, in its sleep.
And that, you know what? I'd welcome that. If anything, at this horrible time that we're all going through, I feel like the way that I want to die is to have my face eaten by an absolute cutie pie. Frank brought in a ring that he initially said he'd had valued at £600 when he bought it. He bought it for £600. And then the production team had it valued, and it was now worth £3,995.
One of my favourite things about Frank Skinner is, as a obviously clearly working class man from Birmingham, he is very, very proud of the money he has. Yes. I remember a story of, I was in a rehearsal room with Frank, and he was talking to us about money, and he said, obviously people say money's not important, but of course it's important. It's made me very happy. He said, but the thing was, I didn't really know whether or not my wife was with me until the day when the bank phoned me up and said, Mr. Skinner, we've lost all of your money. And I turned around to my wife and I told her what the bank manager said. And then my wife turned around to me and said, well, we can downsize. That's what she said. And wow. I just thought it was like I've heard Frank talk often about how rich he is. and there's another story of Frank Skinner as well. This one's about my partner. Frank had gone on a tour. This actually features in Frank's book. Frank had gone on a tour and he hadn't been in the sort of comedian's green room for a while. And he was in the green room and Rich was there, and Rich Wilson, my boyfriend, and he decided that he'd go over to Frank because everyone was probably a little bit too intimidated. So he goes over to Frank and he goes, "Hi, I'm Rich." And Frank goes, "Yeah, me too." And shakes his hand.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, that is great. There is another thing in Frank's book about money that I think about every time I spend money, which is he says he used to do a thing where if he'd had a bad gig and, you know, if he died or he'd not enjoyed the gig, he'd always go and spend the money from that gig on something nice to treat himself. And I now do that, and it's a wonderful excuse to buy yourself things. And perhaps who knows, this £600 ring could have been one of those gifts for a bad gig. And now valued at £3,995, at which point you see the colour drain from Frank's face as he realises he probably shouldn't brought it on as a prize on an entertainment panel show.
Yeah, he looked absolutely distraught by that realisation. Beautiful, beautiful moment to watch a rich man lose some of his money. Great.
Also, that's definitely, if he thought that ring was worth £600, that's definitely not the most valuable thing he could have brought in. He definitely had things that are worth more than that, A, to him, or B, financially.
Well, maybe he just went, "Oh, love, what ring is it you don't like out of this box full of rings that I've bought you? Oh, this one will do." I'll be honest, that ring also looked like it had been given to someone, like maybe Frank's wife. And I imagine there was a larger conversation that happened after the recording of Taskmaster.
Do you think now you're imagining Frank living like a pirate, where he's just got huge like chests full of rings and stuff, and he just grabbed the top one and went to the studio?
You know what? You know the old story of the old Birmingham pirate.
Now this is more what I'm talking about. Josh went all in and brought a blank check. That is an absolute baller move from Josh Widdicombe, I think.
Can we just talk about how this blank check came from Nat West? As well, like, I'm currently with Nat West, but in my head I'm like, I remember when I was a waitress and I served Ray Winston, yeah. And he handed me a Coutts card, and I remember like taking a mental note about that. I was like, oh, that's a card that rich people have.
Yeah.
And like, Josh has done well. Like, why the hell is he still with Nat West? Has he still got his savers account from when he was 16?
That would be a very Josh thing to still have the savers account, honestly. Like, I could 100% believe that. Also, he still has a checkbook. I don't think I've got a checkbook knocking around. I can't remember the last time I wrote a check. But to be fair, this blank check is only... you can only get out what Josh had in his account anyway. And, you know, this is a while ago. Who knows if he... the maximum you can write on a check was 20k, they said. Who knows if he had that kicking around? I was going to text him about it, but I thought it seemed a bit gauche.
Yeah, I mean, it was clever. That was the most, it was like something, it just felt like neither, like it could, Greg nor Alex could really talk about it. Like, because it was like, no, I've done exactly what you've asked. And
yeah totally.
I'm the winner. Yeah, it was confident. It was very confident.
A very confident entry, you're right. Less confident entry / not even bothering with the entry at all was Roisin, who claims to have brought in a diamond ring, but it was worth £12.
This is one of Roisin's things where I just thought she could, because there's a couple of times in the series where she has these moments of brilliance where she's like, oh, this, and she gets it and she does it and she smashes it.
Yeah.
And then this one, it could have been great if she'd made up a beautiful backstory of it as a writer herself, having written fantastic shows herself. She could have written a great backstory to that ring, given it to them, and they could, like, she could have been manipulative as well. Let's not forget, Roisin and Greg know each other very, very well. She could have been so intimate and so personal to him. I think it would have been a good idea had the backstory been there. That's what I'm saying.
I think you're right. A backstory is always good. But what I would say is Roisin's always fighting a losing battle with Greg because he does not buy her bullshit at all. So the more stuff she made up, the more he would have known that she was absolutely talking out of her ass. So,
yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
But also, I think she could have definitely brought something better than this. This feels like she's grabbed it on the way out of the house. This feels like it's come out of a treasure trove of £12 rings.
I can't remember exactly what type of ring was it. Was it like an engagement ring?
Well, she said it was diamond, right? That's all she said, it was diamond. It's obviously not diamond. And even when the initial thing of lying and saying it's diamond, she had a big grin on her face as if to say it's definitely not. I've made it up.
That's like, it's like someone I grew up with going to H. Samuel's and buying a Cubert Zirconia, like silver plated and smiling at his new wife. that they're probably, they haven't got married. But she, yeah, I, do you know what? That was the smile of a working class girl who thought that she tricked everyone with a cubic zirconia.
I loved it though. I mean, I love that. I love those prize entries. You've always got to have a bottom place. Ramesh brought in, I mean, this, look, this is a big prize to bring in, his car, his Peugeot 407. The problem with this as a prize for the most valuable thing is it's not a good car. It's a bad car, Ramesh.
Whose was it again? Was it his wife's?
I think he said it was his wife's, yeah. But it was worth, they had that valued as well at £590, which is, it's low. It's low for a car.
It's so similar to a car I had in 1995. Like that, yeah, it's not. And I remember we had to get it taken. It got, we had some sort of moment. My dad was in some sort of like dent or so, and it would cost more to fix the car. So,
yeah,
in fact,
it's exactly that sort of car.
What he's probably done is given a prize over that's going to cost the recipient more to have the car.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he crashed it and he's basically written it off and he's trying to offload it without having to pay to have it towed. I think that must be what's happened there. Let's move on to Tim, who simply brought in 8 copies of his own book. Now, not a great effort from Tim, who normally goes in. We've seen some good prize tasks from Tim. We've had the flight to Cologne. We've had the reindeer skull. 8 copies of his own book in terms of value, not good. Especially bearing in mind, I think they were quite drastically reduced in price by the time they got to the studio shows.
Yeah, this just looked like he was trying to promote his book.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Tim's always trying to promote a book. He came on this podcast to promote his book, and he used Taskmaster to promote his previous book. He hadn't even signed them.
What?
He hadn't even signed them. They were just brand new copies of his new book. I don't know what he was thinking. But what he was probably thinking was, I'll get 1 point for this. No, Roisin got the 1 point for the £12 diamond ring because of the barefaced cheek of bringing that in. Tim, 2 points for the copies of his book. Ramesh, 3 points for the car. 4 points for Frank's Antiques Roadshow ring. And Josh, of course, getting the full 5 points for the blank check. Now, I don't know what happened with that blank check. There's a lot of rumours flying around that when Frank won the episode, he did take the blank check and get quite a lot of money out of Josh's account. But that is a rumour I think I might have heard Josh deny. So I'm not going to check with him because I like it as a rumour. So let's keep spreading it that Frank Skinner took 12 grand off Josh. Let's say that.
Wasn't it 19? I think he wrote a check on camera for £19,000.
Yeah, he may have written it, but he's not taking that to the bank, is he? Surely.
You would have to also, like, in order for that to have gone through, I'm sure the bank, especially NatWest, who are constantly worried about fraud, I know, I get the phone calls constantly, yeah, they would have phoned Josh up and gone, sorry, are we giving Frank Skinner 19 grand here? Or I'm sure there would have been a phone call.
To which Josh would have had to have said, Jade, as per the rules of Taskmaster, yes, we are. Unfortunately, he won the episode, he won the prize.
What's the maximum you can do?
It's 20 grand.
20 grand.
No, what? I would do 20 grand.
What?
Well, I'm doing the most valuable. I'm putting up a check.
Well, deal with it, bitch.
Task one. Here we go. Task one proper is move this boulder as far as possible. Get this boulder as far from this place as possible. You have 1 hour. Your time starts now. This would stress me out straight away because any task where they say do this and you can do it in any way you possibly can and there's a time limit is just sheer panic straight away for me because there's so many options yet they would all disappear from my head straight away. When you saw this, Jade, did you have an idea of what you'd do?
Yeah, I did. Do you know what? I saw it and I was like immediately, yeah, no, I'd smash it. But also I know how panicked I get when my heart rate goes up. And that's what I don't think I would have been as cool as the person that was sat watching the episode. But my initial thought was that ain't a real boulder. I'm sure I could just push that. Yeah. And actually, I had the same thought, which was pushing it to a taxi and getting someone to just fuck off with it. That was what that's what I thought. Would just probably be the best choice.
I think that's the sort of that's the clearest choice, isn't it? Like that's what most of them seem to go for. Look, Roisin had the clarity of thought to do that straight away. She was like, "Yeah, we're going to get a cab firm. We're going to sort it out." But then to Camber Sands, which we've got to talk about. I don't know why suddenly she was like, I'm getting this boulder to Camber Sands, as if that was the furthest away place she could think of in the moment.
Why Camber Sands? Like, what is that special connection that she has with Camber Sands? Like, I haven't heard about Camber Sands since my parents were in the caravan club.
I didn't think it was a real place.
Camber Sands is a beautiful place. I mean, it's got, on specific days of the year, not all the days of the year, you can get a bit of a crystal blue water vibe going on, but it's not all the time. But yeah, I mean, I literally hadn't heard the words Camber Sands until she said it there. So that was surprising. It's nice when people do that, though. I think it's lovely when you get a little sort of retro vibe to the day's proceedings.
Yeah, and you get a little insight into what's at the forefront of their mind, because I think maybe she said she'd been looking at going on holiday to Camber Sands or looking up Camber Sands on the internet. So it was just clearly parked there in front of, at the front of her brain, and whatever task had popped up, she would have involved Camber Sands somehow.
Yeah, that's exactly what she would have done.
And I loved Roisin's attempt in this. This is so funny. She's called the cab firm, then said she'd call them back, and then called them back again. And all the while, the time's ticking down. And in the end, she just had to panic and walk with the boulder herself and gets it 300 yards. It is absolutely incredible.
She just, like, a couple of phone calls. She was like me when I used to work in a windows and doors place when I was 18 and realised it was really dodgy because they were doing drugs upstairs. And I remember just, like, not wanting to call old ladies up and just, like, really half-assed would, like, pick the phone up and go, hi, would you like some windows? No, you've got windows. Okay, bye. And then getting in trouble with my bosses that I hadn't pushed myself. It felt very much like she was at a temp job she didn't want to be at.
Yes, yeah, totally. Jade, how many jobs have you had? Because I swear, every single time we have a conversation, which, you know, we've chatted a lot, you seem to have about four other stories about jobs you had. Did you have them all for a day?
No, I've had some that have lasted a long time. I had a few, like my working at the kiosk in Islington, where I used to serve Janice Ian from Mean Girls, the actress who played Janice Ian. Yeah. I worked there for 3 years, so that was quite a long job. But I've had lots of little bitty jobs that I have just gone and got, said yes, did the job, realised that I don't really want to be serving people food on trays wearing a dicky bow and a waistcoat at the top of a disused shopping centre.
Yep, that's another new one. Hadn't heard that one before.
I've had lots and lots of jobs, basically. Basically, I've never really looked into getting a job and got a job. So, like, you know, when you're like, oh, I need to get a job, and then you go on to, like, you know, a job centre. I've never got a job that way. All of the jobs that I've got have been from people saying to me, do you want to do this job? Like,
yeah.
Being a door woman in the Valleys when I was 19 and was on like £25 an hour, more than, they don't do that anymore. But I didn't even have to have a CIA license for it. They just sort of, CIA, is it?
I don't, there's not many, apart from working for the CIA, you don't really need a CIA license for anything.
SIA badge, that's what it's called. SIA. Security Industry Authority badge. I didn't even need one. And when I needed to get one, I just sort of left.
So Ramesh went the right way with it, booked a van, but he sends the van in the wrong direction. I think this cast of Taskmaster are very like this. Like, I don't think there's anyone that streaks ahead as the most competitive or the most competent, but I think what characterizes them is quite a lot of the time they have good ideas but manage to screw them up at the last minute. And I think this is classic. He books the van. He's so proud that Mo arrives in the van. He puts it in the van. He says, Mo, go down that way as far as you can. Not realizing he's basically sending Mo back to the house.
Not only is he sending him back to the house, but he, like, Ramesh did loads of walking before he got to Mo.
Yeah.
So Mo actually drove back over all of the steps that he'd already taken. So it was just, I mean, it was just one of those classic Taskmaster moments. And also Ramesh completely blaming Mo for all of the problems that he's had, rather than giving him a clear instruction, like looking at a map, take it over there. Ramesh was like, it's all Mo's fault. You could have been clearer.
Yeah. Essentially what happened was is Ramesh went for a long walk for no reason.
Yeah, for absolutely no reason.
Josh, again, straight down the line, absolutely smashes it out of the park. He got a cab for it and they took it to Windsor, all the way to Windsor.
I don't know whether it's because he approaches stuff so he's so happy and so joyful, whereas I think some people, especially Roisin, will sometimes just let the anxiety of the task take over her, whereas yeah. Josh was like, oh, what have I got to do now? He just, you know, like a real yeah. carefree attitude to it, which is why I think he smashed it.
He plays it with the Widdicombe straight bat, which sometimes doesn't work, but it definitely did on this occasion. A classic Tim Key response to the task. In some tasks, he doesn't do the cleverest thing or the best thing. He goes all in for the most impressive thing. So he tries to lift the boulder with helium balloons, which was obviously never going to work. He knew it was never going to work, but he thought, imagine if it does work.
12 helium balloons.
I don't know if the film Up was out by this point, but look how many helium balloons it took to lift a house. Just scale it down for that, Tim. 12 helium balloons. Helium can't lift boulders or, as Moan found out, eggs. So it was never going to work. But and of course, he just had to give up. He just had to give up and then just do it the normal way. And Frank, I think this is the most beautiful way of doing it. He just got on a train. It was quite romantic.
It was so romantic. It was such a lovely... I don't know whether this is how they edited it, but it was such a calm decision for Frank.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's why I liked it. Very, very calm, very relaxed. Just it's like he was taking the boulder on a day out, and that's what we wanted.
Exactly.
He got a courier in 50 minutes. He showed up to pick up a boulder.
Do you know what he said to me? When he turned up, he said, you never get some crazy shit he'd want me to go to Canberra Sands.
Task two. I mean, this makes me feel disgusted reading this out, Jade. Grow the longest nail. You have 10 weeks. Your time starts now. I think this is the most disgusting task in Taskmaster history.
Disgusting, yes, to some people. But for those of us who are able to grow such long toenails like mine, I'm often told that I could scale a building with mine.
Who's telling you that, Jade? Is that are you
my
saying
boyfriend.
one person tells you that a lot, or everyone who meets you goes, you can scale a building with that?
When I get socks, my toenail will go through them. My two toenails will go through them immediately. The amount of designer men's socks that I have ruined because of my cloven hooves.
Talons. You've got talons, Jade.
I've got talons for sure.
So you don't mind that, or I think maybe you should trim them or sand them down or something.
Well, no, because now I've watched Taskmaster, and it might be a clue. They've already done it, so they probably
won't
do it again.
They've already done it. They're not going to do it again.
That's always the annoying thing of these tasks, is when you see a task on the programme, especially now because I'm going back over it, you see a task on the programme, you're like, damn it, I'd have done so well at that one. And the toenail one is that one for me.
But what I would say, Jade, is please don't grow your toenails on, A, the off chance that you get on Taskmaster, and B, that they do that task again, because that is... I feel like it might be a waste of time. The toenail was definitely the way to go, because Frank did the fingernail, which was genuinely impressive, but I feel like in your day-to-day life, you've got to do the toenail. It's easier to protect. It's not out in public.
He's got a young kid as well. I imagine it's quite dangerous to have old nails that are... Because as you get older, your nail gets harder as well. So I imagine that was quite a dangerous thing in his household for the time that he was growing it. Was it 10 weeks?
10 weeks you had, yeah.
Wow. I know this guy called Dialer. They call him Dialer because he used to be a plumber. So he was called Dialer Plumber. Right. And he's wicked. He loves all that. Because as I've spoken about on many podcasts, I know a lot of drag queens from my days of being in that sort of scene. And yeah. Dialer's like a massive fan of all the drag, because he used to be an old punk from the 70s. And he believes that East London drag is like what the new punk is. And he does like really weird things. Like he has like bags and bags and bags of his toenails and his fingernails, and he grows them really long. Like he wears like sandals, and he had toenails like I'd say about 2 inches long on his feet, and they break off, he keeps them in bags. But we were I don't know, I asked him once, why'd you do it? And he was like, I just think it's weird, and I like to do weird stuff. Really showed up how much of a prude I was, I'll be honest.
I don't think you're a prude for finding a man keeping a bag full of toenails disgusting. I mean, he's a murderer, Jade. That's what's happened. They're not all his toenails.
I did ask him if he was a murderer, and he said no, but I was in a caravan.
Well, there you go. You've used the old trick, haven't you? The old trick to catch out the murderers, and he's clearly not one. Frank went with the fingernail, 2.1 centimetres, very, very impressive. Always long fingernails always remind me of the now departed racing commentator John McCruick, who on Celebrity, Celebrity Big Brother had one massive fingernail, which he grew to pick his nose.
Oh, I mean, I really want to be disgusted, but there's something I find very satisfying about picking a nostril.
Sure, but you wouldn't grow your nail and then tell everyone that's why you did it, right?
Some people grow nails to, like, do drugs, so
they do,
why not?
Which I find
don't
actually,
do drugs.
I find actually more disgusting. Even
me
though
too, it, Ed.
In private, I do pick my nose. Josh, wow, 2.8 centimetres, the toenail, it was gnarled, it looked hard, it was absolutely disgusting. Absolutely it looks, awful.
It looks satisfying.
Josh always has had like a hobbity vibe to me, but when I saw that toenail, he really looks like a little hobbit who runs around with bare feet, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. I mean, that really did add to it. But I just, like, he would have had to have peeled that toenail off after that. That would have been absolutely legendary. I would have loved to have been there.
Also, I don't know if it was the same foot that he had the tattoo on when he had Greg's name tattooed. Would he have had to take his sock off and show a tattoo artist this horrible gnarled nail?
I'll be honest, that tattoo artist would have seen worse things than Josh Widdicombe's toenail.
Roisin didn't do well here again, but I respect her way more for this because she grew it a bit and then bit quite a lot of it off. She was a full 1 centimetre shorter than Josh's, but you know what? I bite my nails and I don't know who could grow like a nail over a centimetre and not immediately bite it off out of anxiety.
I bite them all off. I don't do it too far down. Oh, I saw a video yesterday of someone without any nails that grew and they just had the nail beds and they were touching it. It was gross.
Oh my God.
But horrific. But yeah, no, I would find doing it on my hands quite difficult because I do bite them out of nervousness.
Yeah. I think this one, if you lost it, you still won, really. I think the winner is the loser in this one. Ramesh's will haunt me until I die. Like, it started curling over, like the lads in Guinness Book of Records. He painted it for some reason, which just made it look worse. Like trying to dye the hair of a corpse. It was horrible.
He painted that toenail, and I know this as a person who paints their toenails when she can be bothered. He painted that toenail, and then he put a sock on immediately after. That was classic sock over nail varnish, that was.
Oh, what was he thinking? A rare cop-out from Tim Key, a man who normally throws himself into everything with absolute abandon. He didn't do it. He didn't do the task because, he claims, it's because of a part he was playing in a theatrical production. But the character doesn't bite his toenails. You could have done the toenails. He said the character bites his nails and he brought in a little note, right? But the character did not bite his toenails. He could have done the toenails. I was upset that Tim Key did not engage in this.
I bet you he grew his nail and then it broke. That's what I had. I think he seemed annoyed, you know?
Yeah.
Like when he handed that over and he looked straight at Greg. This is that sociopath thing I said. He looked straight at Greg and he handed it to him and there was no ounce of irony on his face whatsoever. And it was almost like if Greg didn't believe him for his issue, he was going to lose his shit. It felt like he had grown a nail and it broken off.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I guess he has quite weak nails, probably. He doesn't seem like a man who gets all his calcium.
No, that's true, actually. He does look like he has a weaker constitution than the rest of them.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's already been on the podcast. So he can't come on and deny that. So we just say that. That's now part of Taskmaster lore that Tim Key doesn't drink milk.
Genuinely excellent news for me because I have strangely long big toes.
Task 3. Make this bed to a hotel standard whilst holding hands. Your time ends when you get in the bed. Your time starts when you hold hands. Obviously a team task. Now, Jade, if you were in this series, who would you have wanted to have been on a team with for this task?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I thought they all failed at this task because the task was to a hotel standard. There wasn't one hospital corner on that bed in either of them.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so, I don't know what hotels they're used to, though, Jade. They really. But I think you're right. You need to a hotel standard. I imagine those sheets that are so tight that you have to sort of you have to wriggle to get into them. Yeah. Do you think this is one you could have done?
I would have been really good at project managing this with other people as well, because I get really caught, like, so when it's myself, so for example, the Boulder one would, like you, would have worried me and I would have panicked immediately, but I'd have seen a team there, I'd have seen someone else to organise, and I would have project managed the whole thing, and it, I think I would have smashed this one, especially because I can, like, I mean, my boyfriend might laugh at this next sentence because I don't, but I can make a mean bed.
Okay.
But shut up, go away.
You don't. Rich Wilson,
I'm busy trying to get on Taskmaster. I'm busy trying to get on Taskmaster. I don't have time for hospital corners, but I can do it very well.
Do you think in a team, I mean, the team tasks are tricky depending on who you end up with, I'd say. Is there any comedian, not necessarily from Taskmaster history, but any comedian or two comedians that you would want to be on a team for with Taskmaster?
Sindhu V.
Oh, that is a great shout. I mean, that is also, I can't imagine, you two on a team, would you argue? Because if you argued, I feel like it might be the end of Taskmaster after a genuine murder, because... You are two of the most, like, you have opinions and you are ready to give them in the most forceful way. And that's a compliment, Jade. I love both of you, things would kick off.
Well, I don't actually, when I'm in charge of stuff, I have no megalomaniacal fantasies. When I'm in charge, it's just because I want to get from point A to point B in the quickest and most efficient time possible.
Yeah.
And I think Sindhu's got that same vibe. Like, I don't take charge because I need to be in charge because it validates something inside of me. I take charge because I can get stuff done really quickly. And mm-hmm. I'm I've been managers in various restaurants and pubs and all sorts of stuff. I've been that person.
Of course, you've had 8,000 jobs.
I've had loads of jobs where I've been in charge and not all of them have lasted. However, with Sindhu, I don't think that there would be any arguments. I just think you would have two women who were just trying to get from point A to point B. She's a mum as well, in the fastest time possible. I don't think we would argue. And also, I think we're both yes people as well. Like, Sindhu's the type of person that...
Look, I think you might be. I've worked with Sindhu a lot. If she doesn't think something's right, she will not only tell you it's not right, she will also tell you you're a complete idiot before doing her own thing.
Well, I mean, it would be great telly.
Yes,
anything.
It would. No, absolutely. I'd love to see both of you on it. I think that would be absolutely awesome. And I think you'd probably do it quicker than Frank and Tim, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if women are good at anything, it's making beds, eh, Ed?
finally, let's get... Look, fine, I'll put more women on TV, but let's get them doing what they're good at. It was a good team task. Josh, Romesh and Roisin seemed to have more fun with it, but that did cost them. They did it in 16 minutes and 3 seconds. Frank and Tim, 10 minutes, 57 seconds, even though they screwed themselves over massively by holding each other's dominant hands straight away and then not being able to change over the hands. I did think this is one of the rare occasions where I think the team of three were at a disadvantage, because the person in the middle is just dead weight, really. They're not doing anything.
Well, with what I suggested, which was being the person in charge of it, mm-hmm. I would have been really good in a middle position, because I would have just orchestrated it and then just got the other two hands to do the rest of it. So actually, if it had been me in that middle... Yeah. It would have been a lot more organised.
I suppose they could take a role. It's not like being in the middle of a human centipede, for example, where that person is not helping at all.
I've spent 5 years trying to get that movie out of my brain, and now it's back in.
I mean, when it comes to Taskmaster season 25, I think it might get to form a human centipede with your teammates.
Shit in the mouth of another comic.
You only have what's in the shed. Your time starts now. Task four, it is the first appearance of Fred, the Swedish man, who Taskmaster fans will know, pops up in later series as well. And the task is simply, make this Swedish man blush. Jade, I'm going to ask you straight away, How would you have made the Swedish person blush as deeply as possible? You have 10 minutes. Your time starts now. What are you going to do?
I'd sit there for 9 minutes and 45 seconds. And in the last 15 seconds, I would stand up and I would get my tits out.
I just knew that was coming, Jade. It was the look of steely determination on your face. You just decided immediately what you were going to do. But the genius twist on that is leaving it for 9 minutes and 45 seconds. So there's tension in the air already. Brilliant.
Why didn't Roisin get her tits out? I know why.
Yeah, you know why.
Of course. I know why, but this is the thing that Roisin is a beautiful... She's actually... If Roisin had been fiercely competitive as well, it'd have been too much. So actually, in terms of a great series, she was perfect for it. Yeah. But this is one of the times where she just wasn't competitive enough. And like, I just immediately was like, this guy wants to see my tits. That's what he wants. That's what he wants now is to see my boobs.
The thing is Roisin wasn't competitive enough, but she did everything in her normal pace of just like throwing ideas out there as they occurred to her. She won this task because she was the only one to think outside the box. Everyone else was trying to make him emotionally blush, and she'd realised if she just asked him to put his head between his knees, then you would get that colour anyway. But what I loved about it was she started off by saying, would you like to see someone with 3 breasts? And having a breast on the back and all of that thing.
Didn't she like... She gave him the plot of the film Total Recall as the first
basically,
4.5
minutes. Basically, Total Recall, three-breasted woman. But then she realised she could make him put his head between his knees and that would do it. But while he was doing that, she was still asking him about the three-breasted woman. She didn't stop with that narrative. She thought, sprinkle that on top as well. Maybe that'll make it better. No, I thought that was a genius move from Roisin. I thought that was great.
It was also one of those tasks that the taskmaster wasn't able to, because they did it all on how blushed the person was as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt like this was like not something that the taskmaster could have like decided that he didn't think was good. Like it was literally like Roisin made him redder. There you go. That's what they didn't say. Make the Swedish guy embarrassed. They said make the Swedish guy blush. And we heard the word blush and we were like sex. So maybe Roisin not getting her tits out is actually feminism. And I'm super old fashioned.
I think you're very old fashioned. A real prude, Jade. The thing is, I think even though he judged it on the shade of the Swede, I think you sort of do have to look at how inventive they were with making him blush. So Roisin should have won on all counts there. Frank pops his stomach out, and you've got to admire Frank's youthful stomach. What was going on there? What a bod!
It was like a little 2-year-old's tummy.
It really
like,
was.
You know,
it
when
was
they're running
out.
Around the garden with that. Yeah. When they're running around the garden, they ain't got their pants on.
What a lovely compliment.
And what was really great, I loved about Frank's efforts was the flirting. Like he was talking about the vein on his penis and, you know, like got his stomach out. In fact, Frank's efforts were quite close to what I would probably do. It was all like quite sensual and he was up against him there just talking to him. And I was really impressed with Frank's efforts, to be honest.
That was sort of an early ASMR attempt, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, who knew that ASMR was going to be so successful? Frank Skinner did.
Yeah.
I was very surprised at Josh in this because I had watched a lot before this episode. I'd watched a lot of Josh obviously doing really well and just like smashing the tasks.
Yeah.
And then it was just super interesting to just see quite how uncomfortable Josh was with this task.
Repressed little hobbit man. He's such an odd little fella that not being able to talk about anything sexual really, and to use the phrase, who'd be your dream celebrity to bed? How old is he that he said to bed? He couldn't say to sleep with, he couldn't say to have sex with, he'd go to bed. Who's your dream celebrity to bed? Claudia Winkleman? Immediately establishing the fact that he fancies Claudia Winkleman.
He let that slip. There was, what have I written here? Uncomfortable, Alex Horn naked, communal shower, and he definitely fancies Claudia Winkleman.
Yeah.
it was interesting about that. That task was the one where we saw a little bit more of Josh's insides, whereas he'd been like sort of quite happy-go-lucky guy before. And then we were like, oh, this is the first time we've seen him get really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then it made me think, how is he married with children?
No, I'm sure at home, you know, when, you know, when there's not cameras there, Josh is, you know, a wild and romantic sexual man. It's just, you know, when confronted by a strange Swedish man, he couldn't bring himself to go full on, which, you know, is more than we can say for Frank or Romesh, who just tried to make him blush by coming on to him, basically.
I really liked Tim trying to get the Swedish bloke to say Swedish stuff. I thought that was quite clever.
Great.
Instead, because he was that there was thought there that perhaps this guy doesn't have the same effect on the English language as he does with his first language, which is Swedish. So I thought that was really clever.
Yeah.
And then I've just written, I would have flashed him. And then just really, really just very quickly, I have written here that Romesh Ranganathan flirted with the Swedish guy like an aggressive middle-aged divorcee at a Christmas party in a Lloyd's bar.
That's just Romesh's vibe though, isn't it?
Yeah. Another idea is you could have gotten... So do you have mobile phones on you for the tasks? Can you use your mobile?
You can do. I used my mobile phone once or twice, I think. I think it's, if it's entertaining, but I think it's probably bad form to use it all of the time, right?
I'd have just got on Audible. Yeah. And I would have got the 50 Shades of Grey book up, because I know where all the specific points are of that book, where like, it's like intense. And I would just sat there and just read it to him, maybe with a sexy tune in the background or something. It would have been, I mean, with a candle or like... And I think that this one was the one... The acting was important in this one. Like mm-hmm. One the comedian who acted the best.
Yeah.
For the flirting. But obviously, in the end, logic won.
I think you're right. I think logic often wins on Taskmaster, but it was surprising that it won here in such an emotional and sexual task.
Beautiful. I'd have made that Swedish man blush immediately.
I know you would have done, Jade. I think you had the best technique, definitely. 5 points for Roisin, 4 points for Romesh, 3 points for Frank, 2 points for Tim, and a very well-deserved 1 point for the repressed little prudish hobbit man, Josh Whittaker.
Is there a reason you're not making eye contact with me?
Not really, no. I couldn't make eye contact with you. Well,
we're getting on, aren't we? We're really getting on.
I have a surprisingly bulbous vein on my private parts. But it almost exactly resembles the point where the A40 joins the A315.
We come to the studio task. Another balloons task, one of the recurring motifs in Taskmaster, along with eggs, etc., is balloons. The task was blow up the biggest balloon whilst blindfolded. You have 100 seconds and one balloon. And so that meant, obviously, if it pops, Jade, you can't go too far because then you don't get another balloon. This was quite tense, I thought.
I mean, obviously, Josh being asthmatic and having to blow a balloon up is quite funny.
And also being scared of balloons. He's such a weird man.
Scared of balloons and flirting.
Yeah.
we're really painting a picture of Josh's personality. The thing was, he used asthma as an excuse. And the problem is that I have asthma and I've had at least 3 balloon arches over lockdown in the house because we've had 3 people's birthdays here. And I'm telling you what, as an asthmatic, in fact, I blow them up faster than other people. So I think that was a massive excuse that wasn't true. At all. Obviously, Roisin. So this is my question. When I saw the lineup, Roisin's balloon didn't look the biggest.
We've got to trust the Taskmaster on this, that Roisin had the biggest balloon. Tim didn't even tie the balloon. Josh's was pathetic. I think Roisin sort of tried on that one. I think sometimes you've got to give Roisin the points if she's made an effort, right?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. She made an effort. Frank looked really annoyed, like genuinely annoyed on this one at the end of it. I don't know whether that was the editing, but if you go back and look at this, watch Frank. He looks real pissed.
We all have moments during Taskmaster, I think, where there's days where you get caught off guard and you're like, I'm genuinely annoyed about this. I'm too invested in who wins. I had that day every day. It's a Frank victory this episode. Like we say, he got 20 points. Josh, another solid second place with 18 points. Romesh with 16. Roisin with 14 points, and a disappointing and crushing low for Tim with 10 points. He lost the episode, and Roisin brought in a £12 diamond ring for a prize task. That is seriously disappointing.
I'm absolutely terrified of blowing up balloons.
You idiot. So it's time to Can I say, we are tightly locked in the lead, and he's asthmatic and he's frightened of balloons. I'm feeling good.
So it's all to play for in the series, because Josh is on 85 points in the lead, then Romesh is on 79, Frank's on 77, 70 for Tim Key, Roisin lagging behind on 60, but it really is all to play for. That's what I mean. I think this first series, I think because nobody knew what it was, you didn't really know how to play the game to win. There's just sort of no, it's all a bit, it's a fun mess in that everyone's just doing what they can and there's clearly no leader at this point.
They're really truly being quite, like, obviously other people when they've gone on the other series have watched the previous series. So there's like a bit of, you try and not do it, I imagine, but there's a gameplay that you're going to be like this,
or so.
I'm going to be like that. Whereas these five people were, you know, offered a gig and they went, can you come and do this? And then they just sit there completely wide-eyed, which is why I really like this series, because everyone is like, what? Like, basically, Roisin is like, what the fuck is this show?
Now, Jade, you are no stranger to podcasts. We've done podcasts together before. You know, I've done a podcast with you about musicals. You've been on my podcast about food. But I'm right in saying you have a new podcast out, don't you?
I do, yeah. Called Laughable with Garrett Millerick and Red Richardson, both great comics.
Tell me more. Is the podcast about anything, or is it just three very funny people shooting the shit?
Well, we are three very funny people, but we're actually oh, thanks very much, Ed, but we're actually really good mates. So they're like two really close comedy mates that I have. And we have a podcast which is devoted to the types of news articles that you don't normally hear. So we have a blanket ban on Trump, Brexit, coronavirus, or anything like that. And it's all the sort of obscure stories that fall down the back of the sofa.
Great.
For example, we all have our own area of expertise as well. So that's why we all get on so well, is that we're very different people. For example, obviously my news stories would all be about show business, because I love all of that, and also it's the only thing I can bear to have on my algorithms as well. And then Red is really into the tabloids, so it's all of the Mirror, the Sun, the Daily Sport. He gets all the great headlines there. Like, for example, there was man was bummed to death in Safari Park after wearing a Newcastle United football shirt by zebra.
Great. All the made up shit. The best one that sticks in my memory from the Sunday Sport, and this was front page news on the Sunday Sport, it must have been 25 years ago, was plumber strangled to death by own 12-inch nose hair. So that sort of thing, right?
Oh my God, that is excellent.
The Sunday Sport is a joyous comedy paper.
Well, and to balance that out, we obviously need to have something from the broadsheets. And Garrett Millerick, as the only person with a private education and a subscription to The Times, he's got the guy that's going to be bringing all the stories from, like, The Times, The Guardian, and all of that as well.
Amazing. So is the first episode out now? Can people get it now?
Funny enough, as we speak, the first episode is up.
Great, go get it. That's Laughable. Jade Adams, Garrett Millerick, and Red Richardson. Jade, thank you for coming on the Taskmaster podcast. We always ask our guests to rate their experience on the podcast from 1 to 5 points. I want you to be honest. Don't feel like you have to say 5 points to spare my feelings. But equally, don't say 1 just to annoy me. How have you enjoyed the Taskmaster podcast between 1 and 5 points? Please, Jade Adams.
You've asked me loads of questions. I haven't not known an answer to a question. I was very terrified about coming on here because I know that your fans are really intense, and that and that if you fuck up, they'll say something about it. Like the time that I went on the Eurovision calling podcast and I knew fuck all about Eurovision until 17 weeks later when I knew everything. I would say, Ed, as far as podcasts go, I'd give you a 5, mate, because I've not at one moment felt out of my depth, and I really thought I would.
Look, I don't make people feel out of their depth because I have no depth. So it's very it's very difficult to feel out your depth in this paddling pool of a mind. Jade, thank you so much for coming on the Taskmaster podcast.
Thanks, Ed.
Cheers, Jade.
Bye.
Well, there we are. What a wonderful episode. I love it when people come on who've not been on the show, and then we can just talk freely about it. We don't need to worry about upsetting anyone that we worked with. We can just lay into Romesh as much as we'd like. I thought Jade was an absolutely wonderful guest. Hopefully we can have her on again at some point. Remember, check out Home Tasking. They go up on noon on Thursdays. Check Alex's Twitter. Check the Taskmaster Twitter. Check youtube.com/Taskmaster. Check out the Taskmaster store online as well. There's lots going on. And mainly, keep checking out this podcast. We will be back next week with the final episode of Series 1. Watch that, then come and listen to the podcast. I'll be chatting to a special guest who I will announce later in the week. Send us emails, taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com. Send us questions about that final episode and we will do our best to answer them. But for now, I hope you all have a nice week. Just a week. I hope you all have a week. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Are you more or less frightened of balloons than physical contact with another man?
Oh, I'd prefer contact with another man too.
Hold on, do we have a choice now? You didn't say that before. And do we have to tie the end?
I'll have physical contact.